Good afternoon. I'm Carrie Doima, and I'm a member of the ECE team here at the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity at CDC. I will be facilitating today's call. First, I'll begin with a few announcements. Our blast, which went out yesterday, has recent ECE news, a few new ECE resources, and a community highlight. There was also a slide set for today's presentation. If you do not have the slides, please email us right now at ecobesity@cdc.gov. We also wanted people to know that the public comment period for Head Start performance standards is open until August 18th. For the first time since the Head Start program standards were introduced in 1975, the Office of Head Start is issuing a proposal for the complete overhaul of these standards. These standards, based on best research and effective program policies, will provide an updated and streamlined foundation for Head Start providers. The Federal Register and public comment period links will be sent out after this call. Moving on to today's presentation, we're delighted to have Dr. Diane Kraft with us today. Diane is on the faculty of the Physical Education Department at the State University of New York at Cortland, where she teaches courses in elementary and adaptive physical education. She has co-authored 4 books on developmentally appropriate play, inclusive physical activity for young children, including active play, fun physical activities for young children. In addition, Dr. Kraft has given well over 100 highly acclaimed presentations, workshops, and keynotes on preschool physical activities to audiences across the nation. She holds a PhD from New York University in adapted physical education. Thanks so much, and I'll turn the floor over to her.
Hello, everybody. This is Diane Kraft. I'm delighted to have the chance to be on the call. So if you turn to the second slide titled Presentation Overview, it'll give a brief idea of what the focus is today. So as you see, the first part is to highlight 3 states' approaches to promoting and implementing early care and education physical activity, and specifically it's Arizona, New York State, and North Carolina. In addition, just share a few additional strategies that states are using as part of their 1305 approaches. So on the next slide, we'll start with Arizona, and I'd like to give full credit to Bonnie Williams, who organized this effort, and I was fortunate enough to be involved. On March 13th this year, Bonnie Williams, who's the Early Care and Education Prevention Manager within the Arizona Department of Health Services, organized a meeting. I call it your stakeholders meeting, but it's really a capacity building meeting. And so I'm on the next slide that has stakeholders, the title Arizona Stakeholders Meeting Focused on Physical Activity. And as you see there, this is through the 1305 funding with the Arizona Department of Health Services, and it was a full-day workshop on physical activity with young children. The goal of the workshop was to create awareness of and motivation for promoting developmentally appropriate physical activities throughout or for children in care. And invited to the workshop were leadership from various state and large city or county organizations and agencies in Arizona. The intent was for them to help spread the good word. Examples of who came, and I may be listing some people who were not there, but this is going beyond others that you might consider organizing and inviting, would be, of course, the state agencies responsible for licensing and child care, state education department, state health department, and, of course, the host was the state health department, other state agencies such as WIC, Child and Adult Care Food Program, CACFP, if there's a home visitor program or a child care health consultant, NAPED, all of these things. And then if there's some large cities or county counterparts of the above agencies, then they may be appropriate to invite. Cooperative extensions are often involved in giving training, so they might be good. State AEYC, Association for Education of Young Children leadership. Also State Association of Family Child Care. Head Start, faculty in physical education or kinesiology, influential legislators or other political leaders. So that's just an idea of who was and who might be at this full-day workshop. And again, the focus is on capacity building. So it's an effort towards sustainability that not funded by Nemours, but coincides and is related to the end of the Nemours Early Learning Collaborative funding that Arizona has had. Again, the whole focus of the meeting and workshop was to create awareness and motivation to promote physical activity within each agency and organization. I was fortunate enough to be asked to conduct the workshops. There were about 80 people there, representing all the different groups that I just mentioned, or many of those different groups. And one of the key benefits is at the end of the meeting, all these different stakeholders now shared a common understanding of physical activity for young children. So common vocabulary, common background, got everybody on the same page and hopefully motivated to do what they can within their own domain to promote physical activity. So on the next slide, titled Arizona Stakeholders Meeting Lessons Learned, just to highlight a few things, and the second bullet, just to clarify, this meeting was not a train-the-trainer workshop. The intent was not that the people from WIC or CICFP or whatever agency are now going to be trainers and work directly with child care providers. Instead, the intent was to have each organization and agency look at what they're currently doing and is there a way that they can infuse more within physical activity and care within their current activities. So again, capacity building, not train the trainer. It also presented an opportunity to look at who are the early adopters within these various state agencies, who are the people there who were really excited and will be enthusiastic supporters and people you may want to remain in close contact with because they're the ones who are going to take this on and push this effort forward. The one-day workshop was not a standalone because Bonnie was able to arrange that there's ongoing training, again, not provided by the people at the workshop, but provided separate that she has available to continue doing training of child care providers in various counties. So it wasn't this one day is the beginning and the end of promoting physical activity. It was a very good early start and pushing forward, but there's more follow-up that comes with it. And very important to that is offering sustained leadership, which in this case Bonnie Williams is able to offer, but in looking for any kind of educational change, which of course this is, it's really important to have that leader, the one that just keeps things moving and reminding people and cheerleading and making that effort go forward. So it wasn't a great one day and it's over, but this is the beginning of some substantial capacity building and change. The next slide, headed Three State Strategies for Promoting Physical Activity, New York State, is one that I'd like to present on. I'm based in Cortland, New York, and I've had the privilege of working over many years now in with various people in New York State Department of Health. And in New York State for quite a while now, there have been agencies within the Department of Health that have been working hard to promote physical activity in care. And as a result, let me back up. There was basically a stakeholders meeting several years ago in New York State that got the major players to the table sharing with each other what they're doing regarding physical activity, nutrition, and so forth regarding in preschool settings. And that led to some substantial changes and efforts that you see listed here. So, for example, with licensing, there was a chance to revise licensing and substantially strengthen the physical activity aspect of child care licensing. New York State CICFP has been a leader for many years in terms of promoting nutrition and physical activity in the CICFP participants. And I highly recommend you go to the website for the curriculum that they have there, the Eat Well, Play Hard in Child Care Settings. And soon it will be up on the website, the Eat Well, Play Hard and Daycare Homes. Both of these programs emphasize nutrition and physical activity. They are research-based, and there's very few programs that are research-based. So these are really good programs that do result in substantial change in child care providers' practices regarding nutrition and physical activity. In New York State, there was an opportunity to revise the quality rating and improvement system with a strengthening of physical activities within that and provision of resources because there was a training on physical activity component in some of the upper levels of QRIS, so resources to help with that. And then ongoing professional development in terms of physical activities have been conducted by WIC and Head Start, which is the Healthy Active Living Initiative, CACFP, as I mentioned above, New York State AEYC has focused on this, and so forth. The last line on this slide, physical activity specialist, is the part I'd like to focus on now. So the next slide, titled NYS, Build Infrastructure for Physical Activity Training, is a chance for me to explain a little bit more about the physical activity specialist concept. And this is an effort that was funded in New York State by the Community Transformation Grant for Small Communities from CDC. This was an approach to starting to build the infrastructure for physical activity training in New York State. Because with the expectation that child care providers are going to be leading structured physical activity and promoting free play among the children in their program, there needs to be the provision of training to help the providers learn how to plan and provide this physical activity. So the physical activity specialist concept was a way to provide that training. It's modeled after the CACFP registered dietitians who are housed in community or county child care resource and referral agencies. I'll refer to that as CCRNRs. In many states now, it's Child Care Aware. So they had registered dietitians working through the CCRNRs in counties providing nutrition education. So the physical activity specialist concept was to take that same thing, but now put people with expertise in physical activity at the CCRNR level. The benefit of working through CCRNRs is these agencies already are providing training and already are in communication with the child care providers, centers, and families within their county. And in most cases, they're already highly trusted and familiar to the child care providers. Next slide, headed New York State Physical Activity Specialist Model. So the physical activity specialists were people with degrees in physical education, which meant they had expertise in motor development and teaching physical activities. Sometimes that's referred to as people with degrees in kinesiology, but it's the idea that you've got somebody who really understands movement. Just like with the nutrition training, CACFP had people who were registered dietitians. They really understood nutrition. The idea is to get that expertise in the physical activity specialist who really understand movement and are doing the training in movement. So they provided training and technical assistance to preschool teachers and child care providers, and they were able to model and encourage the preschool teachers and child care providers in ways they could lead the children in physical activity. Because this was part of the Community Transformation Grant, the physical activity specialists were also collecting data for evaluating the impact of the grant, which was found to be substantial, which was very nice. In terms of the work of the physical activity specialists, they worked with the administration of child care centers to arrange to provide training to staff on preschool physical activities, typically through large group training or group training. You know, might be 10 or 15 child care staff meet in an evening or multiple evenings for a presentation on physical activity and lots of practical physical activity ideas. But most importantly, the physical activity specialists were also able to provide on-site technical assistance, going into the family child care setting and leading the physical activities, with the actual children that this provider works with in the actual setting, you know, the living room, the backyard, the playroom, whatever. And then the same in centers, in the classroom, on the playground, and so forth. And that turned out to be a very important part, because once you see how you can lead physical activities with your children in your setting, it all becomes possible. And that's what we want. The next slide, please. And this one's headed PA Specialist Lessons Learned. Well, the challenge of the physical activity specialist model is funding to continue to build the infrastructure. And it's an expensive model, so in seeking additional funding, there probably needs to be a way to reduce the cost. And one way is to shift the physical activity specialist from the county level, working directly with the CCRNRs there, to a regional level where the physical activity specialist is available to CCRNRs across more than one county, 2, 3, 4, 5 counties. And then the physical activity specialist is giving that training to the CCRNR trainers who work directly with the child care providers. Another cost-saving approach would be to shift the group trainings to online, but absolutely retain the on-site technical assistance, because I think that's where the change occurs. People really understand that this is possible. I can lead physical activities with children in my care in this setting. And to extend the training to try to go for that long-term change. The next state is North Carolina, and so this slide is headed three state strategies from promoting physical activity, North Carolina. And it'd be presented by Rich Reary, who is the director of Be Active Kids, and this is a signature program of Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina Foundation, and available at the website www.beactivekids.org. So, Rich, are you on the line? Carrie, I don't know if you can figure out which phone is Rich's and how he could be made available here.
He should be able to speak up. Hello? Rich, are you there?
Okay, Rich, if you're here, just unmute yourself. I think that would be *6, and just start talking. But until I hear from you, I'm going to start giving your presentation, but I really hope you jump in because you can do it so much better. North Carolina is notable to me because they're the single state that I'm aware of, might be elsewhere, but it's the only state I'm aware of that truly has the infrastructure supporting physical activity. And that's
Diane?
Thanks. Yes.
Are you hearing that beeping?
Yes.
Okay, let me try to fix that. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Sorry, one more second. You can keep going. I'm working on it. Diane? Diane?
Send it to him at richard@beactivekids.org, Carrie.
I'm sorry. What do you need?
Rich Reary does not seem to have the correct call-in number. Is there a way you can email him at richard@beactivekids.org?
And then I'll just continue with what I'm doing here. And I do still hear the beeping. I'm sorry, but probably everybody's hearing it.
Yeah, I'm working on the beeping. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah. Okay. So continuing, again with North Carolina, that has the infrastructure support for physical activity. There's many initiatives that probably many people are already familiar with in North Carolina. The North Carolina CACFP has the Eat Smart, Move More. They have a very active Smart Start Hub specialists. Again, these are regional people promoting wellness across the counties in North Carolina. They have Shape NC that has a nutrition component, Knapsack. I'm sure you're very familiar with that. They have the Outdoor Learning Environments, and that's Natural Learning Initiative and POD. And they have Be Active Kids. So on the next slide, please, headed Infrastructure Support for Physical Activity, and the next bullet is Early Childhood Physical Activity Institute. I'd like to talk just a little bit about what the Institute is and the Be Active Kids. So Be Active Kids, again, is funded by Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina Foundation, and its intent is to have this organization with a comparatively small staff but with excellent expertise on physical activity, you know, the degrees in physical education and so forth, to have them work with various agencies and provide training and cheerleading, play days, playmobiles, and so forth across North Carolina to really promote physical activity, and particularly in early childhood. In addition to these activities, they hold an annual three-day institute in Raleigh, North Carolina. The first day, and that institute is called Early Childhood Physical Activity Institute. The first day is a general conference for all, and that includes past trainees, people who have been trained in previous institutes. And they bring in national presenters, and all related to promoting physical activity in early childhood settings. The second and third day is in-depth training, train-the-trainer workshop. And I've had the chance to work with Rich on this. So there's typically about 15 people who get this very in-depth training. And these are people who are already trainers from across North Carolina. Now they have an expertise in early childhood physical activity. So they've really seeded these people. There's 60 that have been trained so far across North Carolina to provide the training in whatever mechanism they're associated with. So in North Carolina, you do have this technical assistance expertise in physical activity throughout the state. Moving on to the next slide, headed additional state approaches to promoting physical activity. So now I'm not talking about the three states, but other approaches that states are using. A number of states are holding stakeholders meetings, and this is roughly the same as the Arizona approach, though that was capacity building more than stakeholding. I think that beeping stopped, thank goodness. The intent is to bring together various people who are all a piece of the early childhood world, so that's the licensing, the regulations, the QRS, and so forth, and to find out what's going on across the state and how we can work together. And that seems to be a very practical and doable thing for many states that are involved in 1305. Some states are also promoting training and have developed or are developing webinars for child care providers, and these would be anytime webinars. I know Alabama has one, and Washington State has one, and there's some national ones, so that child care providers can complete the webinar and get at least some understanding of how they can lead physical activity. And then, of course, infusing physical activity training into ongoing CCR&R workshops, and reaching child care providers at statewide conferences, such as the State Association of the Education of Young Children. On the next slide, headed or titled Additional Ideas for Promoting Physical Activity, please know that now I'm talking well beyond 1305 efforts, and this is just my personal opinion. In terms of bigger picture, what could be done regarding physical activity training in the early childhood setting, One thing I think would be great for us to be able to do as a nation is to get physical activity training into the early childhood pre-service. You know, many people that go into work in early childhood have an associate or a two-year or a four-year degree in early childhood. But with rare exceptions, there's very little education on leading structured physical activity in these programs, which means we continue to perpetuate the problem of turning out people without much of a background in physical activity, and then we have to play catch-up by providing in-service training. It would be great to continue with the in-service, but provide the training on preschool physical activity at the front end, at the pre-service level. Another thought would be, of course, strengthening licensing. So it's required as part of licensing that providers lead physical activities. Monitoring provider compliance with physical activity guidelines is important because, you know, that's measured matters, and we do what we're expected to do and held accountable for. So if there's monitors who are already coming in to childcare settings, then add compliance with physical activity guidelines to what the monitors are checking. And, of course, to provide ongoing training and annual visits, check-in, and so forth. The next slide, titled Thoughts for the Future, again, just my personal opinion here. For true change, it's likely to occur when individual child care providers have the knowledge, skills, and attitudes to value and lead physical activities with the children in their care and are supported in these efforts and held accountable for doing so. So on the following slide titled Change the Culture of Physical Activity in Child Care, I just have a little graphic with four different components. So I'm saying if we take the big picture, there needs to be training on preschool or early childhood physical activity at the pre-service training level as well as the in-service training level. There needs to be the infrastructure to support physical activity. So there's the technical assistance and support, and then the monitoring so that people are held accountable. On the next slide here, now I'm stepping back and just putting out a call there. So this is not necessarily part of the three states or anything, but I appreciate the opportunity to ask. If you consider yourself to have expertise in movement and are heavily involved in providing training in the early care and education setting focused on physical activity, and you wish to communicate with others who have similar goals, please email me at diane.craft@cortland.edu. I'm aware of and in communication with a very small handful of people who are doing this. We suspect across the nation there's several others out there who are doing the same and would very much appreciate the chance to just find out who we are and have a mechanism for communicating with each other. So I appreciate that request, or the chance to make that request. And finally, the last slide, thank you very much for this opportunity, and there's my contact information. So I'll turn it back to Carrie at this point, and I believe we have question and answer time.
Yeah, and I believe that Rich is on the phone. Rich, would you like to say anything? I'm so sorry for the technical difficulties, but if you had any thoughts, feel free.
Sure, and welcome from Washington, D.C. Sorry that I had problems connecting there, but I'm in now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. I'm glad that Diane was able to connect us so I could share a little bit about what's going on in North Carolina. We've been blessed to do work around early childhood health. Now we're doing it around obesity prevention, but we've done work around early childhood health since probably the mid-90s. And I'm the director of a program called Be Active Kids, which is a signature program of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina Foundation. And we started with a Be Active Kids program, which was a curriculum for preschoolers, and started in state government and now has moved out into the nonprofit world, which was then followed by Color Me Healthy. And we also have Knapsack as well in North Carolina. So a lot of good things kind of going on related to physical activity for young children. Some great work being done by Nutrition Services branch within North Carolina Public Health. And they have a program called Kids Eat Smart, Move More, which was developed kind of in the sometime around 2011 and really focused on CACFP and working on both nutrition and physical activity, but really robust resources around training, especially at the community college level. So they continue to do work and especially try to gain more expertise around physical activity because they are so focused on nutrition 99% of the time, I guess. Also, in 2011, we were blessed to pull together a task force. The North Carolina Institute of Medicine pulled together an early childhood obesity prevention task force to look at and developing recommendations to address barriers and ensure some systems and services for young children ages 0 to 5. And that was could have been the clinical area with doctors and nurses, could have been within communities and schools, or in the policy areas. And they created a document called Promoting Healthy Weight for Young Children, a blueprint for preventing early childhood obesity in North Carolina. And most of our programs and affiliates kind of use that as a kind of a baseline to determine where they're headed next in early childhood health. And there's some decent recommendations around physical activity there. Also in 2010, we were blessed to get some funding from Blue Cross Blue Shield North Carolina for the Partnership for Children, who is kind of our organized early childhood entity in North Carolina. And they have roughly 72 local partnerships that kind of focus on early childhood efforts. And they create a program called Shape NC, which you see in your notes there. It brings together nutrition information, which is done a lot through the University of North Carolina, through Knapsack, as well as the outdoor learning environments, which is done through the North Carolina State University, through the Natural Learning Initiative, Robin Morton and Nilda Costco. And then the active kids doing kind of more of the physical activity and programming. And what they do there is, you know, they have these kind of these hub specialists that are part of, they're employed to do work in early childhood around health. And they are kind of situated across our state so that they can bring in local child care centers and provide them with resources, training, and knowledge to improve the health of young children 5 and under. So that hub specialist system is working pretty well. And last but not least is kind of what the Active Kids is doing around early childhood physical activity. And we, since 98, we kind of had a more of a comprehensive approach to children's health and really focused on nutrition, physical activity, and food safety. And until probably 2010, that's what we did. Right around 2010, we started focusing a lot more of our attention on children's active play and physical activity because we noticed that that was an area folks didn't have a lot of knowledge of or they weren't really comfortable doing it. So a lot of our effort in the last several years has been geared towards creating more resources, more training, and more opportunities to develop some expertise around physical activity for young children, and specifically even moving down into infants and toddlers now and how folks can work with infants and toddlers. The Early Childhood Physical Activity Institute, again, you see a slide there, number 12. We've done that now for 4 years, and it's a 3-day training, and we geared the training the first day to be really meant for anyone, funders, parents, children's museum employees, parks and rec employees, anybody that would have the opportunity of interacting with young children and having an impact on them. And what we typically would do on the first day of the Early Childhood Physical Activity Institute is bring in experts from across the country, because that was another thing we we saw as a barrier is the expertise. We couldn't really deliver expertise on the budget that many of these folks had. So by us bringing the experts to them, it allowed them to free up resources to do other things. So typically we'd have three experts. Many of them are international, some are national, and then some are local. And they would talk about three areas. One would be on more structured physical activity. That could be physical education, motor skills development, fundamental movement concepts, a variety of different things, but very structured, task-oriented. Another person would speak towards active play, very free play, child-directed, a lot of nature play, a lot of risky, adventurous play. And then somebody would talk more about the environment or more community-based change efforts. And that typically takes place the first half of the first day of our institute. Then the second half of the rest of the institute is geared towards 15 specialists that apply, and we go through kind of a screening process to determine if they're the best kind of people to continue the work. Once they've been accepted, then they then start the week off with that opening session and then have a three-hour workshop from one of those experts that we brought in. So they get to actually spend some time doing some hands-on stuff. We've had Dr. Linda Carson do some stuff about choosy kids and infants. We've had Dr. George Graham, who's a physical educator, do some work on early childhood motor skills. This year we had Bari Correll do some stuff on children's yoga. And they really get their hands, you know, dirty, kind of doing some really hands-on experiential learning around motor skills, movement, or active play. After that, the other 2 days, Dr. Kraft and myself sit down with those 15 candidates, and we typically will go over a variety of different pedagogical approaches. So we provide teaching strategies, we provide content, and then we actually have them apply that with young children. So we bring in kindergartners and preschoolers for them to actually work with, test things out, see how management works, see how planning works, and then reflect on that over those next 2 days. And the point of this is typically to have this every year so that these 15 people can come back every year and get continuing education, as well as trying to provide them on with some webinars and learning opportunities throughout the year as being a part of this specialization. So that's kind of, you know, sorry I'm late, but I try to jam all that down in like 5 minutes probably. Any questions?
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, just push *6 to unmute your phone line.
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
What level of funding did you receive from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and for what length of time?
That's a good question. Originally, Blue Cross kind of worked together with our local government to create the Becker Kids program, and then we have received continuing funding over the years since then. And that varies based on what the budget needs are. It could be anywhere from $100,000 to $300,000.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bonnie in Arizona. Can you hear me, Richard?
I sure can. Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your help today.
You're right. No problem. My question is about, so you're basically developing kind of a cadre of physical activity, early childhood experts, let's say, that work throughout the state, maybe 15 of these people or so. And so who employs these people? Are they full-time, or are they doing this in addition to their other roles?
Very good question. And whether it's the Be Active Kids program or other programs we have in North Carolina, a lot of it's done through a train-the-trainer system, and they're actually employed by an early childhood entity, whether it be Smart Start, maybe they're a child care health consultant, maybe they work for a local health department. Some of them are community college instructors. So they definitely are already employed doing work in early childhood. Some of the new folks we've worked with specifically through the ECPI happen to be in the recreation and parks area, as well as kind of more kind of these non-traditional roles for early childhood involvement. So we're starting to see different people besides just your, what we would call our trainers or your child care health consultants or technical assistance providers.
So are they
still
Getting like release time from their employer to do this, or is this all after a 40-hour week that they're providing some training and technical assistance to, you know, to others?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what helped us is we knew we couldn't pay these individuals and have it be sustainable. The only people that we've worked with in projects that are paid directly to do this kind of work is through the Smart Start Hub Specialists. And those individual, those positions are funded by the SHAPE NC grant. Mm-hmm. But the folks that attend the ECPI, the Early Childhood Physical Activity Institute, those folks are out there doing work, and part of their work is to go out and train and educate early mm-hmm. childhood providers or
parents
and families.
So they're integrating this into their regular work.
You got it. So they're already kind of being asked to do it, but they have never got any training or information around how to do that.
So kind of a content expert, and that's fantastic. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah. You're welcome. And we've tried one of, you know, we've got, again, besides just these things, we also obviously through the CDC grant, our Community and Clinical Connections for Prevention and Health branch in North Carolina is actually doing a really good job bringing together so many unique stakeholders for an integrating healthy options for play and eating advisory committee. So that and some other work being done really allows for some real good collaboration to happen so that it's integrated into what they're already doing versus having to, you know, create something brand new.
Thanks. Other questions?
Hi, yeah, this is Amia Oppenheim from Ohio. Can you hear me, Richard?
I can, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear more about the collaboration that was involved in putting together the 3-day program. Who did you pull in, and how did you fund that?
Well, that came across, you know, it started for us with, you know, we do a train-the-trainer system. We've done that since 98, and we looked at our efficiency and effectiveness, and we would see that we were spending a great amount of money going out and training providers on our curriculum for them to go out and training trainers to go out then and train providers. Well, you know, if you train 100 a year, maybe 40 of them go out and do anything. And of those, you know, people that kind of do it, you wind up seeing like the same 10 people really doing tons of trainings and rocking it out. So we kind of started doing some focus groups with those 10 people to try to figure out, like, how does that happen? And what really boiled to the top was we probably need to reallocate some of our train-the-trainer money into this developing some more long-term expertise. You know, and I would say our budget for the Early Childhood Physical Activity Institute ranges anywhere from, you know, $5,000 to probably $10,000, depending on the content expert you bring in. You know, you bring in a big name, you could be paying $6,000 for that person. You bring in local experts, you're probably only paying $500 maybe. And we brought in some really good people this year, and luckily we worked out a lot of deals. So I think our budget this year was probably right at about $5,000.
Thank you. That's helpful. I wondered who else collaborated on that. I mean, it must have been an undertaking. I'm wondering if it really helped strengthen the program in a way, too.
And it definitely does because, you know, when you do something like this, it allows you to bring in expertise from all over the world, you know, and allows you to actually probably do less, you know, try to work hard doing the same stuff. You actually can work less by gaining the information of people that have already done it. So for us to bring in these experts from across the country that kind of say, well, let me tell them how to do it versus you trying to recreate it and tell them how to do that. And then it provides a new connection for our graduates. So now they can contact any of these experts at any time, almost like a panel, and, you know, and contact them through email and just say, hey, I'm part of ESPI. You know, I got a question for you. And they've done that a lot, which is pretty neat. As well as we're seeing many of these people that have resources for sale, they're now allowing kind of cheaper costs to our end users. So now these, our graduates or the people they work with now can get discounts on music CDs or resource guides or training webinars or whatever. So they're spending less of their money that can be now applied to doing something better in their child care centers or in their organizations.
Thank you.
This is Bonnie again. Can everyone hear me again?
Yes.
Okay. This is just a general question, I guess, not necessarily focused towards Richard, but if anyone would want to comment on it. I've been working on this kind of work for a couple of years now through the Nemours project, but have been a long-time early childhood person. Fortunately, I did get some pre-service background on physical activity. However, I guess my observation is that many staff are a bit resistant because of their own physical health to do some physical activity with young children. They don't understand, you know, the importance of doing it intentionally or moderate to vigorous or doing it indoors or that kind of thing. And I'm just wondering if anybody has kind of dug down deeper to working with staff who are resistant to implementing physical activity with their kids. Or if there's, I don't know, any comments or any work around, you know, sort of staff feelings and that piece of it.
Hi, this is Diane. A couple thoughts here, and then I'll welcome others to contribute too. Yes, a number of adults, present company included, could exercise more and could be lighter. And so what I've come to appreciate is when working with child care providers, even though the funding may come from obesity prevention efforts, to not mention the word obesity, to not talk about weight, to not bring up that subject that can be very, very uncomfortable for many people and prompt them to just tune out because I already feel so badly about the fact I'm not exercising or I'm overweight and I just want to get out of this training or I just want to not do this. So to keep the focus completely off obesity prevention and instead focus on the fun that the children will have being physically active, focus on how the child care provider's day will be easier because the children are half active, focus on how the children are likely to sleep better if they have moderate and particularly vigorous physical activity opportunities throughout the day, and just keep the whole focus on benefits for the children and not on the obligation to provide physical activity, but the opportunity, you know, this can really be fun for children. The other comment I have is that when you look at educational change, concerns-based adoption model, you know, there's the innovators, the early adopters, the late adopters, and the resistors. And I won't get the percent exactly correct, but I think it's somewhere around 17 or 18% overall, regardless of the change, there's likely to be resistors. So you just move on and work with those early adopters, early adopters, early majority, and eventually the late majority, and just hope that that resistor is not the director. But I welcome others to contribute as well.
Yes, this is Christine Sassy in Arkansas. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I can make a comment on that because for the last 6 years, until I took my present job, my work was very dedicated to presentations in schools and through the educational co-op, and always centered around obesity topics. And what I found most of the time to work very well was, even though I am slim, I would go about it in a very lighthearted way in the introduction, and really talk about my experiences in the fact that I was a child who hated PE, and was a horrible eater, and that how the system that I grew up in had led to that, and had things been done in a different way, it could have been a lot easier for me. And to identify with them how hard it is, and then to spend a little time discussing, I mean, really that socio-ecological model, but not putting it, of course, in those terms, but talking about, well, why is it hard to exercise? Why is it hard to, you know, eat well? And showing them how many factors are making it hard. So my point was to try to personally remove some of the guilt, and I can't say that worked for everyone, but I really do think that loosened people up to be able to go, oh, there are influences around me that have made this so hard. And I think that helped grease the conversation a little bit, and then I would launch into the fact that of how it would benefit them through the greater focus in the children and the better learning.
Thank you.
We probably have time for one more comment. Is there anyone else who has a question or a comment?
This is MJ Patterson from New York State. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I worked with Diane on the physical activity specialist program, and just want to comment anecdotally that one of the values of that model is that the physical activity specialist could really customize their approach based on who they saw. So they, if they had people that were highly resistant to physical activity, they could offer projects that, you know, ease them into that versus somebody that was really, anxious to get started. And so they were able to work with a range of settings and a range of motivation, I think, partly because they had the deep knowledge that allowed them the flexibility to depart from curriculums or depart from sort of a roadmap.
Thank you. Okay, well, I just want to say thank you so much to all who joined today. There was about 60 people on the line, so for that many people and very few technical difficulties, I'm happy. Thanks so much to Diane, Rich, Bonnie, all of those who participated in the conversation. This call will be archived, and instructions to obtain the archive will be sent out. Also, a quick reminder, our next networking call is scheduled for Wednesday, August 26th. Thank you all for joining, and have a great day.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.